I'm not sure if you guys have heard of food combining, but it's a philosophy of eating that has ancient roots, yet still is practiced today. Those that support a food combining diet do believe that improper food combinations can lead to diseases, toxin buildup, and digestive issues. They also believe that proper combinations can actually help relieve these problems. But is there any truth to these claims? Today, we are going to take a closer look and look at the research to determine whether food combining is effective. You're listening to the Digest This podcast, and I'm your host, Bethany Cameron. Let's dive right in. You guys have probably heard of Beekeepers Naturals. They are everywhere with their superfood honey, brain fuel, bee pollen, and propolis sprays. I have personally been taking their brain fuel and propolis immune throat spray for over a year. So when they wanted to become a sponsor of this podcast, I was quite honored, and this couldn't have been a better match. And if you don't know about Beekeepers Naturals, let me quickly tell you that their propolis throat spray is literally something I use every single day, and often multiple times a day. My husband and I both spray it at night and whenever we have a dry throat or tickle in our mouth. Now, I'm not sure if you knew, but honey isn't the only thing that bees make. They also produce a compound called propolis, which is literally a superfood. It has a special compound that acts as an antifungal, anti-inflammatory, and antimicrobial. One study found that when topical propolis was applied 3 times a day, it helped to heal cold sores, and the researchers found the propolis cream not only reduced the amount of herpes virus present in a person's body, but also protected the body against future breakouts. Another 2021 review found that propolis may also help treat mouth and throat infections, as well as dental cavities. And these are just a few reasons why Beekeepers Naturals uses this natural aid in so many of their products and also includes it in their raw honey for a full spectrum superfood sweetener. The founder, Carly, actually created her products after experiencing reoccurring tonsillitis that worsened because her body couldn't tolerate antibiotics. Everything changed when she came down with a severe case while studying abroad in Italy. Desperate to avoid flying home for surgery, she wandered into an Italian pharmacy and found this stuff called propolis. After barely a week of taking the bee product, her tonsils had almost returned to normal. It was the first time in her life that something had worked for her condition. And that is what sparked her journey to create Beekeepers Naturals and all their superfood honey and propolis-based products. I highly suggest checking out their propolis spray for immune support, especially during these colder months, as well as all their other immune support products to naturally help your body fight off infections and keep them at bay. And you guys know I've got an amazing deal for all my listeners. If you just go to beekeepersnaturals.com/digest, you'll get a great, amazing discount. So again, go to beekeepersnaturals.com/digest and you will get an amazing discount for only my listeners. I hope you guys enjoy it. All right, I want you guys to get really comfortable here, whether you're on a walk, in the car driving, or maybe you have your pajamas on and you're just ready to chill with a cup of tea. I want you to listen up, listen in, because food combining, it's a hot topic, and it's been a hot topic for a long time. And for those that don't know, food combining is a concept based on the idea that certain foods pair well together when eaten, while other foods do not pair well together and can have adverse effects on one's health. The belief is that combining foods improperly, for example, eating a steak with the potatoes, can lead to negative effects on health and digestion. Now, generally, food combining diets assign foods to different groups. These are usually broken down into carbs, starches, fruits, vegetables, proteins, and fats. Food combining diets specify how you should combine these groups in a meal. Now, I first want to just point out that I am kind of on the fence on this because as you will see as we get deeper into this podcast, there are some extremes I just don't agree with, and then there are many I do. For example, I do believe that when eating vegetables with fats like avocado or olive oil, it can be helpful and help nutrient absorption. And there's even been several studies to back this. And eating rice and yogurt can also help with a bloated tummy, or if you're, you know, just having an upset stomach in general can really help. Now, on the negative side, eating melons with any food, especially dairy, can cause loads of gas and discomfort. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard that you should not eat dairy with seafood. That's another claim, and you may have heard over and over again that just dairy and seafood don't go well together. And you may be like thinking, just like me, I'm like, okay, well, then why all the clam chowder, lobster mac and cheese, and creamy shrimp fettuccine Alfredo, like all these dishes that are like specific to like dairy and seafood? Now, just because there are dishes out there with so-called no-no combinations doesn't mean they are going to benefit our health. Now, like restaurants can serve whatever they want to, and we can choose to eat whatever we want to, right? Just like fast food joints can offer deep fried French fries in canola oil, and we as humans have the freedom to buy and eat it or not. So the same thing goes for these popular food combinations. Just because it's out there and it's promoted, it doesn't mean that they are, quote, a good combination. Now, companies offer tons of these combinations, but will these food combos cause more harm and discomfort when eaten together rather than eating them separate? We will get back to that. I first want to touch on the common rules of food combining. Now, the laws of food combining can vary somewhat depending on the source, but the most common rules are eating fruit only on an empty stomach, especially melons. Avoid combining starches and proteins. Avoid combining starches with acidic foods. Avoid combining different types of protein. And consuming dairy only on an empty stomach, especially milk. Other rules say that protein should not be mixed with fat, sugar should only be eaten alone, and fruits and vegetables should be eaten separately. Now, again, these are the quote food combining laws, and I probably agree with the melon part and fruit and veggies at times, like depending on what veggie and what fruit, and eating them separately can definitely benefit your health and digestion. But in terms of not eating fat and protein together or starches and proteins, just that to me is just a bit too much. But again, there's really no one size fits all when it comes to your health, and many have experienced great relief when following the strict food combining methods. So who am I to say it won't work for you? Now, the beliefs on food combining are based upon two. The first is that because foods are digested at different speeds, combining a fast digesting food with a slow digesting food causes a, quote, traffic jam in your digestive tract, leading to negative effects on health and digestion. The second belief is that different foods require different enzymes to be broken down, and that these enzymes work at varying pH levels of acidity in your gut. So the idea is that if two foods require different pH levels, your body cannot properly digest both at the same time. Proponents of food combining diets believe that these principles are essential to proper health and digestion. They also believe that improper food combining causes toxins to build up and leads to negative health consequences such as digestive distresses and diseases. That's where eating melons alone on an empty stomach and dairy and seafood can play into the toxic buildup part. Now, let's look at what the evidence and science says. Now, so far, only one study has examined the principles of food combining. It looked at whether a diet based on food combining had an effect on weight loss. So it wasn't even about digestion or gut health. It was focusing more on weight loss. So the participants in this study were split into two groups and given either a balanced diet or a diet based on the principles of food combining. On both diets, they were allowed to eat only 1,100 calories per day, which, side note, I feel is very restrictive and we should be eating way more than that. But nonetheless, this was what the study did. After 6 weeks, the participants in both groups had lost an average of 13 to 18 pounds, but the food combining diet offered no benefit over the balanced diet. So I personally think they lost weight not because of the food combining principles, but just because they were on a 1,100 calorie diet. Anyways, I'll digress. But so, to that point, there is no evidence to support most of the principles of food combining. What's more is that many of the original food combining diets were developed more than 100 years ago when much less was known about nutrition and digestion in general. What we now know about basic biochemistry and nutritional science directly contradicts most of the principles of food combining. But let's take a closer look at the science behind these claims. So let's talk about avoiding mixed meals. So the term, quote, mixed meals refers to meals that contain a combination of fat, carbs, and protein. The rules of food combining are largely based on the idea that the body is not equipped to digest mixed meals. However, this is not the case as the human body evolved on a diet of whole foods, which almost always contains some combination of carbs, protein, and fat. For example, vegetables and grains are typically considered carb-containing foods, but they all also contain several grams of protein per serving. Additionally, now, although meat is considered a protein, even lean meat contains some fat. Therefore, because many foods contain a combination of carbs, fat, and protein, your digestive tract is always prepared to digest a mixed meal. When food enters your stomach, gastric acid is released along with the enzymes pepsin and lipase, which helps start digestion of protein and fat. And get this, you guys, research even shows that pepsin and lipase are released even if your food contains no protein or fat. Next, food moves into your small intestine, and your intestine is flooded with enzymes that work to break down proteins, fats, and carbs. For this reason, there's no need to worry that your body will have to choose between digesting protein and fat or starches. In fact, it's specifically prepared for this type of multitasking. Now, regarding the food altering the pH of the digestive tract, now, this is another theory behind food combining, and that is eating the wrong foods together can hinder digestion by creating the wrong pH for certain enzymes to function. The pH scale measures how acidic or alkaline a solution is. It ranges from 0 to 14, where 0 is the most acidic, 7 is about neutral, and 14 is the most alkaline. It is true that enzymes need a specific pH range to function properly, and that not all enzymes in the digestive tract require the same pH. However, eating foods that are more alkaline or acidic does not significantly change the pH of your digestive tract, and your body has several ways of keeping the pH of each part of your digestive tract within the correct range. So, for example, your stomach is usually very acidic with a low pH of between 1 to 3. But when you eat a meal, it may initially rise as high as 5. However, more gastric acid is quickly released until the pH comes back down. Maintaining this low pH is important because it helps start the digestion of proteins and activates the enzymes produced in your stomach. It also allows and helps to kill any bacteria in our food. In fact, the pH inside your stomach is so acidic that the only reason reason your stomach lining isn't destroyed is that it's protected by a layer of mucus. Your small intestine, on the other hand, is not equipped to handle such an acidic pH. Your small intestine adds bicarbonate to the mix as soon as the contents of your stomach enter it. Bicarbonate is your body's natural buffering system. It's very alkaline, so it neutralizes the gastric acid, keeping the pH around 6 to 7. This is the pH at which the enzymes in your small intestine function best. In this way, the different levels of acidity in your digestive tract are well controlled by your body's own sensors. So in the end, if you eat a very acidic or alkaline meal, your body will add more or less digestive juices as needed to achieve the necessary pH level. Isn't that amazing? All right, you guys have heard me talk about endocrine disruptors many times. Now, these toxins are in the food we eat due to pesticides and packaging, our home food storage containers, our cookware, drinkware, laundry detergent, soaps and shampoos, and yes, even our cosmetics. That's why it's so important to choose a clean skincare. And we all wash our face daily, at least we should, right? And we all use creams and serums. So if we're already using them, why not make the switch to a safer version that uses non-toxic ingredients? Last year, I had the privilege to start using Alitura, which is a clean skincare company that is clean certified and uses all natural nutrient-rich ingredients grown on Earth. This brand was actually created by a male model named Andy, who got in a severe accident while crossing the street. This resulted in a collapsed lung, 7 broken ribs, and a severe compounded fracture of his jaw. Broken in 5 places. Out of desperation to repair his own facial scarring, he began making his own natural skincare products at home. Andy carefully sourced active ingredients to help accelerate his skin's healing process. And 8 weeks later, he was back on the runway. And that's how Alitura all began. I personally love their clay mask, gold serum, and facial pearl cleanser. They also have a non-toxic unisex perfume that both my husband and I love. And to be honest, neither of us really like scents of any kind. No candles, no perfumes, nothing. But when I got the PR package last year and opened up the perfume bottle and sprayed it, my husband was like, "Dang, I actually like that." And I was so glad to hear that because I really liked it too. You just need 1 small spritz and it lasts all freaking day. It's a sensual blend of yangyang flower, cedar, sandalwood, and cardamom, all created using clean, natural, and organic ingredients. This is a luxury scent made without toxic additives, parabens, phthalates, sulfates, aluminum, dyes, gluten, mineral oil, or silicone. It even won Editor's Choice of the Chalkboard. Alitura's line of skincare is a new addition to my routine, and I am loving it. So if you want to ditch the toxins and experience clean beauty that actually works, I highly suggest Alitura. If you go to Alitura's website in the About section, they have before and after photos and testimonials of consumers' cystic acne and their scarring. And it shows the before, like I said, the before and after of their skin clearing up in just weeks. It truly is amazing. And what else is amazing is that Alitura has a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you really have nothing to lose. Try it. And if you don't like it or aren't satisfied, you can get your money back within 30 days. They also gave me a discount to pass along to my listeners. You can get 20% off by using code DIGEST. Just go to alitura.com and use code DIGEST at checkout to get 20% off. Again, that's Alitura.com and use code DIGEST. All right, let's talk about food fermenting in the stomach. So one of the most common supposed effects of improper food combining is that food ferments or it just rots in your stomach, supposedly when a fast digesting food is combined with a slow digesting food. The fast digesting food stays in your stomach so long that it begins to ferment. However, this does not happen. Fermentation and rotting occurs when microorganisms start to digest your food. But as mentioned earlier, your stomach maintains such an acidic pH that almost no bacteria can survive. I also want to note that I am referring to a healthy GI tract. So if you are one to have like GI issues and perhaps lacking stomach acid, food combining may be helpful in the short term to manage symptoms, all while you are actively trying to address the root issue of low stomach acid. So there are benefits of food combining for those with sensitive and a compromised gut. Now, there is one place in your digestive tract where bacteria thrive and fermentation does occur. This is in your large intestine, also known as your colon, where trillions of beneficial bacteria live. The bacteria in your large intestine ferment any undigested carbs, such as fiber, and release gas and beneficial short-chain fatty acids as waste products. In this case, fermentation is actually a good thing. The fatty acids the bacteria produce have been linked to health benefits such as reduced inflammation, improved blood sugar control, and a lower risk of colon cancer. Now, this also means that the gas you experience after a meal is not necessarily a bad thing, but instead can be a sign that your friendly bacteria are well fed. And let me tell you, sometimes after I eat my own homemade yogurt, I notice my gut is very well fed, if you know what I mean. Now let's dive into some evidence-based examples of food combining. So although the principles of food combining diets are not backed truly by science, that doesn't mean that the way you combine foods is always irrelevant. For example, there are many evidence-based food combinations that can significantly improve or reduce the digestion and absorption of certain foods. So here are a few examples. So you may have heard about citrus and iron. So iron comes in two forms in the diet. So there's heme iron, which comes from meat, and non-heme iron, which comes from plant sources. Heme iron is very well absorbed in, but your body's like absorption rate for the non-heme iron is very low. So about maybe like 1 to 10%. It's very low. Luckily, there are several things that you can do to increase your absorption of this kind of iron. Adding vitamin C is one of the most effective ways to increase iron absorption. So again, heme iron comes from meat. The non-heme iron comes from plant sources. So I'm talking about the plant sources of iron. If you add vitamin C, it makes it more readily available and easier to absorb. So in addition to making the non-heme iron, which is the plant iron, more easily absorbable by adding the vitamin C, the vitamin C actually decreases the ability of the phytic acid in the plant to block iron absorption. This means combining foods, again, rich in vitamin C, such as citrus fruits and bell peppers and things like that, with the plant-based sources of iron, like spinach, beans, things like that. Those are high in iron regarding plant sources. That's an excellent combination. Now, let's talk about carrots and fat. I've talked about this on my Instagram, but if you guys don't follow me there, I'm just going to reiterate it here. Certain nutrients, like they're very fat soluble. So carotenoids, for example, it's prevalent in carrots, the sweet potatoes, anything that's basically orange, right? So they need fat in order to be absorbed by the body. Carotenoids are just compounds found, like I said, in even red, orange, and dark green vegetables, including Ta-da, carrots, even tomatoes, bell peppers, spinach, broccoli, etc. Studies show that carotenoid-rich diets may reduce the risk of some health conditions such as certain cancers, heart disease, and even vision problems. However, research has also shown that if you consume these vegetables without any fat, eating a plain carrot stick or a salad with fat-free dressing, for example, you just may be missing out on the benefits. You might as well not even be eating it. So you have to include a good source of fat. So there's studies that have found that consuming these vegetables with dressings like olive oil or like a good source of fat, maybe some avocado, things like that, it was associated with an increased absorption of the carotenoids. Now, speaking of spinach, let's talk about spinach and dairy products specifically. So foods like spinach, chocolate, and tea, they all contain oxalates. This is an anti-nutrient that can bind with calcium to form an insoluble compound. This can be good or bad for you depending on the circumstances. For people who are prone to certain types of kidney stones, consuming calcium sources such as dairy products with oxalate-containing foods can actually decrease the risk of developing kidney stones. Now, on the other hand, combining oxalates and calcium decreases the absorption of calcium in general. So for most people, this is no problem in the context of a balanced diet. However, for people who don't eat much calcium in the first place or who eat a diet very high in oxalates, this interaction might cause a problem. So if you are concerned about getting enough calcium from your diet, avoid combining dairy products and other calcium-rich foods with foods that are high in oxalates. So foods that are high in oxalates include spinach, nuts, tea, chocolate even, beets, rhubarb, and strawberries, among many others. So you can definitely Google and see what foods are super high in oxalates. So now I want to go back to the whole dairy and seafood topic for a second here. So fish is considered a hot food and milk is considered a cooling food. And together, it's been thought to produce an imbalance that can cause chemical changes in the body. Numerous dietitians agree with the Ayurvedic theory. Now, this is concerning the cooling and heating effects. So thus, they advise a lot of people to just avoid this combination. And the combination is, of course, dairy and seafood. So although this combination is very common in many cultures, again, it is advised to just stay clear from it, especially if your immune system is already compromised. All right, now this is the bottom line, you guys. I think that it is fine to incorporate the principles of food combining into a healthy, well-rounded diet if you find that it works for you, especially if your gut is compromised. I personally do practice a few of these, but not all. And I have always been one to stress that eating too much of a variety at once can actually cause digestive issues and discomfort, especially when making a smoothie that contains like 10 plus ingredients, right? Like 10 or more ingredients. This is way too much. So on my Instagram, like tons of my Instagram followers have even come back and told me after they stopped adding the rainbow, quote, the rainbow to their smoothies and just stuck to a couple main staples in their smoothies, they felt so much better and were less bloated. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't eat a variety in your diet, but you don't have to eat a variety all in one meal. I like to look at the week as a whole, and you can eat different foods on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and still get the benefits. So don't think you have to pound down the rainbow all in a day. I'm sure you've heard that to get the benefits of salmon, just eat it 1 to 2 times a week. And even liver only needs to be consumed once a week to obtain its nutrients. That's, you know, obviously depending on the serving size, of course. So all this to say, if you feel good separating or combining certain foods, do it. There's really no downside as long as you are still getting in your required nutrients throughout the week. I hope today's bite of knowledge was insightful, educational, and piqued your interest into food combining, and perhaps it will help you explore more, and maybe it just turned on a light bulb as to maybe what's hindering your digestion, or maybe some things that maybe you need to add some fat to your carrots. Like, who knows? So if it was helpful, please send me a message on Instagram letting me know that you listened and enjoyed it. And if you think you know someone that could benefit from it, please share it with them. I always appreciate it, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of Digest This. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review in your podcast app to let us know. If you're ever wondering how you can support me and this podcast, sharing it with your friends and family is the best way. This is a Resonant Media production produced by Drake Peterson and edited by Mike Fry. To email the show, message us at digestthispod@gmail.com. See you next time. The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for individual medical and mental health advice and does not constitute a provider-patient relationship. As always, talk to your doctor or health team first.